Hello, world. Welcome to Discover Your Talent, Do What You Love, number 219. I'm creator and host, Don Hutchison. Every day, I interview someone from around the world who has discovered his talents to do work he loves, to create a life of success, satisfaction, and freedom. Today, I'm delighted to bring you our featured guest, Khalil Weish. Welcome, Khalil.
Hey, thanks, Don, for having me.
Good. It's our pleasure. Khalil, are you using your talents doing work that you love?
I must say, absolutely, I am, Don.
All righty. We want to hear the whole story. A few words about Khalil and his background. Khalil Weish is an entrepreneur, local marketing and social media expert who's been connecting people and products through technology for 19 years. As founder of Catering to Your Whims Incorporated and KGW Enterprises, he draws on his experience in marketing, sales, and business development to create a platform for professionals to promote their work, share their expertise, and interact with consumers. Khalil and Elena, his wife of 21 years, reside in southern New Jersey with their two teenage children. Khalil, that's a brief summary of your career. Tell our listeners what you're working on now that has you engaged.
Well, Don, I appreciate that. Right now, one of the most exciting things that I'm working on is my nonprofit organization called Chef Cares.
Okay.
And pretty much what Chef Cares does is we help train the at-risk youth as well as feeding the homeless, and we have an outreach that reaches out to the seniors as well.
My word.
Yeah.
How long has that been in the works, Chef Cares?
I must say I've actively been doing it for the last 6 years. I just finally formalized and got the 501c3 about 30 days ago.
Oh, so congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to 2016 to really now leaving a bigger impact. By having that in place, I'll be able to partner up with some corporations that have been looking to help me out with this endeavor.
Mm-hmm. That's very exciting. Well, tell listeners, too, about just the other enterprises that have gotten you here over the last 19 years. Just give us a sort of a brief summary of the different practices you've been in.
Absolutely. So my longest running practice is Catering to Your Whims, which is a personal chef / catering company. I've been doing food for 27 years. I've had the organization or business going on about my 11th year now with that. As I was moving forward with Catering to Your Whims, I found that I was reaching out to other chefs through different networking events and found I was kind of like one of the go-to guys with some of the different strategies I've learned over the years. And I just decided about a year or so ago to open up a consulting firm called KGW Enterprises, which it initially started out just to help restaurants and caterers, but now I find myself helping people in the beauty industry as well as other small business owners.
Oh, I see. Okay, so this is you consulting and reaching out almost just like an executive coach. Is that what that's like?
Absolutely.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Well, we'll have all the contact information at the end of the interview so people can be sure and reach out to you. Well, as you know, Khalil, we've discussed this. Everyone's life is composed of a series of turning points every handful of years where we face issues and obstacles and challenges that we have to deal with that determine the strategy for the next handful of years of our lives. Everyone's life is built like that. It's our backstory. Take us back as far as you'd like to go in your backstory to your early days and tell us what got you here and makes Khalil Weish Khalil Weish, if you would.
Absolutely. I wanted to just share, I don't look at them as obstacles. When I was growing up, my uncle had me in track from the age of 6. So I got a different mindset of calling them obstacles. I actually call them hurdles.
They're actually hurdles, weren't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. So the reason I call them hurdles is because I never was a hurdler myself, but I've always admired the hurdlers. I was a long-distance guy. And one of the things I know watching my uncle over the years coach hundreds and hundreds of students with the hurdles is the first thing that they had to learn was speed. Mm-hmm. So we know in the business world that money loves speed.
Yes.
So one of the other takeaways I took away from it was they also had to have the proper footwork. So in any business, you want to have the proper mindset and the proper training as well. So the last part that was always intriguing to me about the hurdlers was they had to be flexible, because you know, if you ever watched a hurdler, if you're not flexible, there's no way you can get that back leg up over that hurdle without possibly injuring yourself. So
yes.
Same thing goes in business. You have to be flexible. So one of the things that I took away from watching that was my mother worked for the government for many years, just retired about 4 or 5 years ago. But while doing so, she taught us the spirit of being an entrepreneur. She had a Tupperware business. She did Avon. So watching her juggle these many things gave me all those things that I learned about the hurdler with, you know, her leaving one job to go to the next job. And watching it over the years, I decided, hey, when I was 13, I want to open up my own business. So my first business was actually raking leaves and cutting grass. So that was the start of my entrepreneurship at the age of 13.
Hey, can I share something with you?
Absolutely.
That was mine too.
Oh, wow.
At the same age.
Wow, wow. Yeah, and I kept that business till I graduated high school, actually, and I turned it over to my brother, and he didn't do as well as I did, but that's a different topic. But yeah, so, you know, my mom always taught us to do the work that was necessary to get you ahead, but always legally and morally do it, you know. So that was something that she inspired in me at a very young age. And I think that's why sometimes when people see me working as hard as I do, and especially on the food service, they're like, well, how do you work all those hours? And I think it was Jim Rohn that said, when you find what did you love what you do, it's not really work. Encompassed behind what I saw my mom do to make sure that me and my brother had what we needed, you know, growing up in a single parent household, that was something that always inspired me. Yes. And I wanted to make sure I was able to help her financially. Only so much I could do cutting grass and raking leaves, but every little bit helped.
Yes, of course.
So that was my first entrepreneur endeavor. Then my senior year, I got accepted to Drexel. Believe it or not, I wanted to be an accountant. Yeah.
What drove that, the desire to be an accountant?
I always liked money and numbers.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So I always loved money and numbers. So not like we have today with all this great, vast technology. Back then, there weren't as many outlets seeking different scholarships and things like that. So unfortunately, I got accepted. Fortunately, but unfortunately, I got accepted to Drexel, but I didn't have any scholarship money.
Okay.
So then that was a little bit disappointing. And then I looked at, okay, I'm cutting grass, I'm doing this. Then I started working at a sneaker store, and that wasn't going to cut the check for me to go to Drexel. Mm-hmm. So I decided at that point to serve my country, and I joined the military.
Ah. How old were you at the time?
I was 18. I remember like it was yesterday. It was June 22nd, 1992 when I left, and it was about 100 degrees that day.
Wow.
And I went and served down in Fort Riley, Kansas for a while, and then my final duty station was Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And guess what I took when I was in the military?
Guess what you took?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wait a minute. I can almost guess. Okay, tell me.
It was a chef.
Oh, duh.
Exactly.
Was that your first foray into the world of being a chef?
No, I actually had in high school, besides working at a sneaker store, I took on a couple part-time jobs as a cook and cook's assistant, so to speak. And then I formalized everything when I went into the military. I served for about 5.5 years. Unfortunately, I got hurt, so I got discharged after trying to go into my second reenlistment. And when I came out, I decided that I didn't want to do the cooking thing anymore because I had done so much of it while I was in the military. I wanted to wear the management hat. Mm-hmm. So I guess my early 20s there, my first management job was at a place I'm sure you've eaten at. Most of the listeners that are listening, they've eaten at, was at Papa John's.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So I was at Papa John's for a little while, stayed there. Then from there, I moved to Bob Evans. I'm sure another place many mm-hmm. listeners may have eaten at. And from there, I moved on to a place that's no longer open called Lone Star.
Oh, yeah. I remember Lone Star.
Yeah. Lone Star was probably one of the most challenging places I worked at. And reason being is when they hired me as an assistant general manager. But for a year, there was no GM. So I was doing both jobs. And one of the biggest obstacles or hurdles that I faced there was, even though I was doing the work of both jobs, I wasn't getting the bonus checks that all the other general managers were.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was a little disturbing to me, you know, bothered me a little bit. And that was probably the most pivotal change that I made career-wise, because I was making pretty good money. And I decided probably about 14 months in that I was going to resign from Lone Star because I didn't feel as though I was being treated right. Mm-hmm. And I was looking through the newspaper. And as I was going through the newspaper, I seen a job opening for a bank called Commerce Bank, which we all know now is TD Bank, for entry-level position to go into the banking industry. So I called.
You like money and numbers.
I'm like money and numbers. So I called, and when I called the organization, the pay was something that I wasn't used to since I was about 17 years old, because at Lone Star, I was making about $62,000, and the new job, if I decided to take it at the bank, I would be reduced down to about $10 an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So you're talking about an obstacle.
Wow.
Yeah, but my mindset, as my mom always had shown us, was to get in and do hard work. So I figure with my military background at this point and then my management experience, that 2-3 years, I could work my way up the ranks. And I was pretty wise and thrifty with the money that I did have in savings. So I decided to take it. So upon taking that job, there was something that only I know God had his hand on with me with that particular career. About 40 days in, after doing all the training, there was an office that was not too far from the restroom. As I was going by, I overheard the lady's conversation. She was a little frustrated with her computer. And during my military time and after I got out, I had took some computer courses and actually got certified doing some Microsoft stuff. So as I'm coming out of the restroom, I stopped at her office and I said, "Pardon me, ma'am." I said, "I didn't mean to overhear your conversation." I said, "But you mind if I take a look at your computer?" So she says, "Sure, take a look at it." So I did what I needed to do to fix the computer. So the next morning when I came in, my supervisor calls me over. He says, "Khalil, I need to see you right away." So I'm like, "All right, no problem." So I go over and he's like, "Did you touch somebody's computer on yesterday?" So now you can only imagine what's going through my head. I got all kinds of thoughts. For my first time walking in the bank, and I'm like, "Oh my goodness, I might have broken something here," and not know, you know, because it's not a home computer, it's a bank computer.
Right.
So he said, "Yeah," he says, "she wants to see you." So I go over to her office and she's on the phone and she waves me in and she says, "Did Rich tell you what I wanted?" And I said, "No, ma'am, he didn't." So she says, "Oh, yeah, I want to hire you in my department." So now all the feeling of being, you know, embarrassed that I did something wrong now turned to like a spark. I was like really excited about that. So this is 4 months in. The department that we had, and I'm sure you might remember these days. Do you remember when we used to take the floppy disks and we would stick them in to get the internet and all that good stuff?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So this is during that transition time. The department she was in was the Commerce Online Banking Department. And that department was responsible for switching from the floppy disk to what we now know today is, you know, the Wi-Fi internet and all that great stuff. So to make a long story short, as I'm in that department, within about another 30 days of being in that department, I had took some numbers of, as we were outsourcing a lot of the calls for all these technical issues, over to India. So now I'm looking at my bank account. Because, again, you know, I'm a numbers guy, mm-hmm. and I'm seeing that it's being slowly depleted. So I said to her, I said, "I took some numbers here, and if we insource this stuff," because I wanted more hours, because the hours weren't as great as, you know, when I was at the restaurant, "here's how much savings we could have." So I showed her that, and she showed that to her boss. And all I can say to everybody listening, within 9 months of me just showing some leadership skills and, you know, having a vested interest in what the organization wanted to do to be number one bank in South Jersey and Philadelphia, that $45,000 pay cut I walked away from, I got back in 9 months.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. So that was a pivotal point for me.
Absolutely. Very gratifying. Bravo for taking the initiative and using all your talents and skills to make that happen.
Yeah, thank you.
So what happened next?
So as I moved up in the bank there, I got over into the IT department, which is initially where I wanted to go anyhow. Did that for about another 8 years, got promoted to several different levels. One of the things I loved about the bank, it was always growing and it was always opportunities as long as you kept taking different educational courses. So all the courses they would throw at me, I would take them. You know, I'm always a big advocate of education. You never can get enough.
No.
Yeah, so I did that for about 8.5 years. During that time is when I decided to go back into food, but I did it for myself this time instead of for somebody else, and that's when Catering to Your Whims was born.
Okay, okay. So how long did it take to plan that and get it going, and when did you make the step to do it on your own?
It actually took me those 8.5 years as I was there. I was already in the planning stage. I was already in the development stage, and I was doing my weekend warrior thing where I would do a little job here and then another little job here. Then I found that the phone was ringing without any advertising, and the advertising I was getting was word of mouth from satisfied clients within the bank and outside of the bank. So it was a great opportunity for me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. As you know the statistics from around the world with all kinds of yearly research by Gallup and Pew and all kinds of other organizations, that most people out there are doing okay. Sometimes they're making a lot of money. Sometimes they're doing a fair amount of work they like, but most people aren't in their sweet spot, what I call their sweet spot. They're not really fulfilled overall in the work that they do with their talents and skills and abilities and values and so forth. What is that about, do you think? Why do people get stuck, and what's your analysis of that?
I think a lot of people get stuck is because of at a very young age, when we first kind of go into, I guess, grade school, so to speak, right before that time, we're in the preschool age. We have all these dreams and this great creativity going through our minds, and we believe we can fly like Superman and go to the moon and all these other things. Then, unfortunately, once we enter into the formal schooling, what I call, you know, first grade and up, now you start getting told all these different messages of no, 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 no. So I think that transfers into our adulthood because people's dreams begin to get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, and they just get complacent, and then they just stay stuck, you know, because they lose that fire. And that's something that, unfortunately, the marketing messages out here that we hear from a lot of different places, whether it's on the job or whether it's on TV, unfortunately have a negative connotation.
So what would you say to listeners about how to break out of that mindset or that conforming mindset? Because it really is very much, we wrote a book one time called The Lemming Conspiracy, you know, all about just doing what John or Jerry does or John or Susan does. How do you break out of that?
Well, one of my favorite mentors that motivates me on a daily basis and has for many years is Les Brown. I'm sure you heard of him.
Oh, sure. Of course.
So Les Brown has a famous speech that's been heard many, many times again. And he goes and he says, you got to be hungry. And it goes to continue to say, what are you willing to do today to choose a brighter future tomorrow? Are you hungry enough to reinvent yourself, to grow beyond your present circumstances, to accept no excuses for not succeeding, to get up again, even if you've been knocked down, to work harder than you ever have before for your own life and your dream? Stop settling. You deserve to do more than just survive.
Yes.
But I want to take it one step further.
Okay.
Because as much as I love that and much as that's helped me, I want to tell people you got to be starving because, you know, hungry is an adjective and starving is a verb. So when you're starving, now you really have a desire to really not die of starvation.
Right.
So people have to stop starving their dreams and they really have to go after them. I would tell them to just stretch your comfort zone and just go for, you know, what you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, and as you did, as you were making the transition from banking and being in the IT department for 8 years, you went home and on the weekends, instead of just lolling around, you actually worked on your new ideas.
Absolutely.
Way back then, that was part of your passion, too. You had a good position at the bank. You liked the work, but you had another vision.
I did. And that I learned from the famous Jim Rohn, and he says that formal education will make you a living, but self-education will make you a fortune.
Yes.
So, again, I'm a big advocate of education. I'm not knocking formal education, obviously, because I'm actually in a college course now and have been in many college courses over the years. But there's just something about going on and getting information beyond the classroom.
Yes.
So just like what we're doing today, hopefully this is inspiring some people what we're sharing. I know I've learned some things from what you guys have shared with me on your website and the different infographics that I've downloaded from you.
Good.
So the education piece is key, and I would tell and encourage people to go to as many seminars as you can, read as many books as you can, but more importantly, you have to implement.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, and then the key part to that is as Jim Rohn and others have said, is the people you associate with.
Absolutely.
So talk about the people that have inspired you.
Well, I've heard too, Jim Rohn, Les Brown. On my local level, what I've been doing and what I'm also in the process of doing too is I'm in the process of setting up a quality networking group slash events, because I think the art of networking has been lost. Many people think when they go to an event that if they just shove a card in your hand that they're networking. I call that net jerking, because that's just not how you build relationships. So I'm actually looking at, you know, starting these events coming up in the end of January, because I'm looking to build some quality relationships. Not that I haven't had any and don't have any now, but as my vision expands, so does my knowledge base of whom I need to be in contact with. My inner circle has to expand as well. So that's one of the things that I'm working on, I'm doing for 2016.
Perfect. What have been the most palpable benefits of you from a very early age, looking at yourself, understanding who you are, continually learning and educating, following your vision? What have been the benefits of you living your own life, if you will, being in your sweet spot?
Well, the benefits would be the freedom of time, because there's nothing like being able to not have to break through the glass ceiling, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always been a guy where I like to be spontaneous in certain areas of my life. One is definitely the entrepreneurial endeavor, because there's been some smaller businesses that I've started early in my careers that weren't so successful that led to my success today.
Yes, yes, exactly. Okay, so you've mentioned some real thought leaders. Are there other books or resources that you'd recommend to listeners around the world?
Absolutely. One book that I'm reading right now that I was actually just at a seminar not too long ago, the gentleman's name is Omar Peru.
Okay.
He's a master sales trainer. He goes around the world and training many entrepreneurs and corporations. And he has a book that I was very interested in, heard about, called Investigative Selling.
Oh.
And in that book, he gives you 12 principles on effective selling. So that's what I would recommend for anybody. Most people say, oh, I'm not in sales, but I beg to differ, because the job interview was a sale if you work for somebody.
Correct.
The marriage was a sale, you know, if you got a spouse.
Yes.
So we're always selling. So I think when you look at it from a different perspective of some different eyes besides your own, that helps form you as a better person.
No, I like the whole idea of investigative selling. That's very original. It makes total sense. Always do your homework, right?
Yes, sir.
So what about this amazing thing called the internet, especially you with an IT background? You must have a perspective on this. It's very original. How do you use this internet thing today?
I'm big into finding as many beneficial tools to automate my business, so
okay.
to speak.
Okay.
So I try to find different apps that cut down on me so much. Not that I don't want to interact, but things that make it easier for me to kind of have a bird's eye view of the numbers of my business. There's an application I use called Zoho.
Okay.
I've been using that for quite some while. Then also with the scheduling of my time, Google Calendar is integrated with, I think we use the same program, Schedule One.
Mm-hmm.
With that integration, that helps cut back some time as well for me with the automation piece of it. So I just love that whole automation factor.
Yes, yes. Well, Khalil, what do you see going forward in the next handful of years? What's your personal vision? Because you're certainly a strategist, to say the least. So what's your strategy?
Well, one of the strategies that I have over the next few years is the future's looking real bright. I'm looking at helping at least 5,000 families through my food ministry.
Wow.
And as far as the Chef Cares training, I'm looking over the next 2 to 3 years to train at least 150 young men and ladies through the mentoring process of it.
Wow.
And right now for this first quarter, again, I'm going through the interview process of putting together the right team, because I really believe that I'm building something special and it's going to take some special people to help me get there. So that's what I'm looking at.
Perfect. What are you proudest of in your life to this point, on any level of your life?
I'm proudest of where I've come from. I was born and raised in the city of Camden. And if you don't know anything about Camden, it's one of the poorest cities in the nation.
Hmm.
So I'm proud that watching my mom, you know, again, raise two young men without us, you know, getting in trouble or, you know, going to jail or anything crazy like that. She raised us up in one of the toughest cities in America. So I'm just proud to be able to look back on that and to be able to be a blessing to my two children that they didn't have to experience that, the actual living part of it. They can live through the experience that I've lived through it. And just the success of just where my businesses are going and where they're headed.
Khalil Weitch, what a great pleasure being with you today, sir. We appreciate you sharing the highlights of your life journey, and I know that our listeners around the world have learned lessons that will help them on theirs. So how do those listeners get in touch with you?
Well, they can get in touch with me by following me on my social media. On Twitter, you can follow me at Chef Khalil, that's C-H-E-F-K-A-H-L-I-L.
Okay.
Or either at Coach Khalil, C-O-A-C-H-K-A-H-L-I-L. And you may also come to my website at kgwenterprises.com or cateringtoyourwhims.com.
Splendid. Listeners know you can go to our website, discoveryourtalentpodcast.com. Go to the podcast section, see the summary of this illuminating interview, and all the links and connections will be there. So don't pull over on the side of the road and jot some notes down. It's all right there on the website after you connect with us there. I want to thank you, listeners across the world, for joining us today. If you go to our site, you know that we have an ebook and an infographic, What Do Highly Successful People Actually Do to Succeed? 12 Proven Career Building Strategies to Help You Do What You Love. Khalil has shared many of those strategies with us today as he has been using those in his life. These are the teachings and learnings of men and women for decades and decades, and we've had great feedback to this thing. It's free and hope you'll enjoy it whether you're 18 or 80. You can also subscribe for free to our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. If you like our content, we'd love to have you a part of our tribe. It's all free, and we'd love for you to tell us how we can serve you better. In closing, every one of us is born with unique talents and gifts. We don't learn them. We cannot ignore them. They're just a part of who we are, our DNA, if you will. Whenever we discover them and use them in our lives and careers, we do not merely survive. We thrive in every way possible. So until next time, all my best, and whatever you do, have fun out there today.